when the Bible says to any individual or group, fear not, you know why it says that? Because they're already afraid. And when Jesus said to his apostles in the passage that Caleb read for us from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, let not your hearts be troubled. You know why he said that? Because their hearts were already troubled.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
There we go. Good morning. I noticed that everyone has plenty of room for their 6-foot social distancing between family groups, so that's good. Some years ago, well, I tell you, I'll tell one more spider story since Caleb has reaffirmed that he seems to have inherited this from me. Years ago, when we made a trip to Oklahoma, and it was always a question at the Kiamichi Clinic, who's going to sleep in the camper, who's going to sleep in the tent, who's going to sleep where? In this case, Caleb and I slept in the tent. He was probably 12 or 13 years old, and it turned out our tent was stationed so that when the security lights came on, it shone fully right on one half of the roof of our tent, and all the night insects came out and were crawling all over the tent, and their shadows were so clear we could identify most of them, including one, one of the big spring flies, a mayfly, a caddisfly, whatever, you know, the big long ones with the wings and the mandibles crawling around on top of our tent. And we were watching that thing, and all of a sudden there was a kind of a soft thump, and the same backlit kabuki theater revealed to us that it was a large free-ranging spider that had apparently dropped out of the tree that overhung the other side of our tent and landed on the roof. And he began a slow start and stop, skittery approach toward that big fly, which seemed particularly oblivious of impending doom. And he got within a few inches of it and leaped and landed right in the middle of it and sank those big shadowy projected fangs for us down into it. And by that time, Caleb and I had no fingernails left. We'd been sitting there. I didn't know how big the spider really was, but backlit and projected onto the roof of our tent, it was large. We didn't sleep much that night because both of us are afraid of spiders. Now, having that said, some years ago on one of my trips to North Vernon, and I think also this was when Caleb was dean of the week of camp that we were doing, but I had been sent into town to go to the Walmart and pick up some supplies that we needed for whatever was happening at the camp. And there was a lady in Walmart who was having difficulty. I'm tempted to say she was having difficulty with her little boy, but I don't think so, because I couldn't see that the little boy was doing anything really all that wrong. He was just a little boy. But she was screaming at him and swearing at him and threatening him with all kinds of things she plainly did not mean to do, because she kept threatening and kept threatening and never did anything really to correct what little minor misbehavior the boy may have been doing. But I could hear her all over the store. And she got in line ahead of me, and all the way until she was talking to the cashier, she was screaming and ranting and cursing at this little boy. And I caught up with them again in the parking lot. And she had him cornered there on the sidewalk, and she said to him, "Do we need to have a scene?" And I just happened to be walking by, so I said quickly as I passed, "Too late." And then made my way to the car before she could turn her loving attention on me. It was too late to have a scene, already having a scene. You know, if I say to you, calm down, it's because I think you're already overwrought. If I say to you, stand down, it's because I think you're already on the edge of some action. When the Bible says to any individual or group, fear not, you know why it says that? Because they're already afraid. And when Jesus said to his apostles in the passage that Caleb read for us from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, let not your hearts be troubled. You know why he said that? Because their hearts were already troubled. And I'll come back to why the apostles' hearts were troubled. But how many of you agree with me that the whole world is troubled? And not just now, always. Right now it's obviously troubled. But you know, the Bible says, in this world you will have trouble. But somehow we as a people have developed a completely non-biblical expectation that everything is just going to be all right for us in the world. That is not what the Bible says. And so we get surprised in these crises. Now, my sister Jill, who I will mention a little bit later, told me of some agnostic friends that she has, and she says they are currently just unhinged about this whole coronavirus crisis. And in talking with Jill, you know, we agreed we can see why they would become unhinged. They don't have that faith in God. They don't have those promises that we rely upon. They're cast out there into the chaos with nothing but their own devices. So I can understand why they would be unhinged. But here's the sad part. Way too many believers, way too many Christians are unhinged about this crisis. And we ought to be the last people on earth to be giving in to fear and panic, discouragement, or despair about any earthly crisis. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I've already fielded the question both face to face and with several friends online. Do you think this is the end, the last days? Is Jesus coming next week? Is that what's going on now? Well, of course, the ultimate answer is, I don't know. I don't know. If you ask me my opinion, is Jesus going to return next week? Well, I kind of doubt it, but maybe that's a foolish thing for me to say because I don't know. But here's what I tell people, and many of you have already heard it if you have been with me in Bible studies about the book of Revelation. Everything prior to chapter 19 is stuff that's already been happening in the world and is still happening today and will continue to happen until the very end. The horsemen are riding and the beast, which is the apostate governments of the earth, are in rampage and will continue in rampage until they are finally put down. Persecution is in progress. And obviously, earthquakes and famine and pestilence roll on. Everything in the book of Revelation unfolds in every generation, just as God said. And let me tell you what this should do for us. It says there at the end, he who writes these words is faithful and true. And when history unfolds just exactly as he says that it will, it should increase our faith, not our fear. I know that the book of Revelation and the whole of the Bible describes unpleasant times, turbulent times, times of great crisis, but we should be made more confident in God's grip on history when it is proven that He knows exactly what will happen and that He has already promised to make provision for us in it. Now, one more thing I want to say about the book of Revelation while I'm on this end of the topic. I've talked to a lot of people who don't take the book of Revelation literally over the years, and many of them say they can't imagine anything that could ever happen to bring about the world conditions described in the book of Revelation. Friends, I hope this is a wake-up call. What little thing could happen that would upset all the governments and all the economies and send us all scurrying in fear? And how much worse or how much longer would it require right now before there was some global governmental entity trying to take care of this? And if it was worse and somebody offered a cure, but to get the cure you had to take a mark to show. You follow me? I'm not making any predictions. I'm not making any predictions at all. I'm just saying this should be a wake-up call. It could all happen just like that. We live in the last days already. But the long and short of it is, because of what has been done for us in Jesus Christ, we should have no fear of the last days, of any days. Now let me return, as I promised, to the apostles. Jesus said to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Why were their hearts troubled? Well, put this thing in context. By the way, I'm supposed to be preaching about Jesus before Pilate and the choice between Jesus and Barabbas today, but somehow I thought this was the message that we needed. If you read this passage in its context, it follows just after the Last Supper and Jesus' clear pronouncement to the apostles that He is about to die. He is about to die. And they know that they are in danger too. They may be about to die. These are troubled times for them. And Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." But I want you to get, He does not say to them, "Because everything's going to be just fine for you in the world." He does not say that to these men who will almost all die horribly, painfully, and early. He doesn't make any false promise like nobody's going to skin any of you alive or crucify you upside down or put a spear through your guts or throw you off the top of a tall building or lop your head off with a sword. Those would be lies. And Jesus would not give false assurance to these men who will die early. Painfully, Jesus says, "In my Father's house, there's a place for you. A place for you, Russ. And you, Eric. A place for Fritz and all of his family. A place for Judy and a place for Lynn. There's a place for you. And I'm going. Just as quick as I'm killed, which I've told you I will be, I'm going to prepare your place. And I'm coming back. And I'm going to take you there. That where I am, there you may be also. So let not your hearts be troubled." Fear of the coronavirus. Let's get honest for just a minute. How many of you are afraid of getting a sore throat? I'm just asking. You've had sore throats before, haven't you? if you live through this, you will have sore throats again. How many of you are afraid of a runny nose? Anybody here just shaking at the thought of your nose running? How about congested lungs? A little more serious, but is that what scares you? Let's be honest. We know what we're afraid of. We're afraid of death. Well, let not your heart be troubled, because in God's house there are many mansions, a place for you. And Jesus has gone to prepare that place for you. And He is coming back to take you, that where He is, there you may be also. This is the basis of our faith, is it not? Paul said, if in this life only we trust in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied, and our faith is vain. I am not making light of the coronavirus. I know that people have already died. I know that more will die. Some of those numbers that you're looking at were provided by my sister Jill. I should explain that my sister Jill is kind of a big deal, and she is part of an international medical research group, and she has access to things that I don't, and that almost none of us have access to. And the numbers of those who are infected and who have perished are already out of date, because it's 2 days ago when she sent this to me. But I did the math last night. I did the math last night. And the mortality rate is still going down. Last night, the mortality rate given me in the U.S., the numbers in the news, the mortality rate is about 1.2%, 0.012. And it's going down. And when it's done, it will be less than 1%. It will be less. This virus is less deadly than the flu. And if you look at the numbers, many more people have died of the flu this year than you want to think about. This will be much less deadly than the flu, but people are going to die, and it's so contagious that maybe a lot of people are going to die. And I'm not making light of that. But here's what I want you to know. The real mortality rate is 100%. Everyone in this room is going to die. Everyone outside this room is going to die. For all men are appointed once to die. And then the judgment. How many of you are making plans to die? Because if you're not, you're a poor planner. It's an absolute certainty. You know why you have life insurance? Not because you plan on living. Because you plan on dying. And this is the message that we need to give to the world at this time. Are people going to die? Yes, they are. But we are always dying. And we are all dying. But we have the blessed hope of the resurrection, and a place that Jesus Christ has prepared for us. Now let me be clear what I'm telling you and what I'm not telling you. I realize that we're probably the only church in the area that's actually got people in the building this morning. And if you want to talk to me or to Russ or to Bill or any of the elders about our reasons for not canceling services, we'll be glad to tell you. But here's what I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you to run out into the community and say, I'm a Christian, I have no fear, see and lick doorknobs. I'm not telling you to find a sick person and grab them by the ears and say, go ahead and cough right in my face. I can tell. I'm not telling you to do anything like that. I'm telling you that our lives need to be governed by faith and not by fear. And when you and I, who bear the name of Jesus Christ, direct our decisions according to fear, the world is cheated of the assurance that it needs, of the hope for peace that it can have, and of the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us carry faith into the chaos that surrounds us and pray that the big result of the coronavirus will be souls added to the kingdom.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.